Let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 4. And in Romans chapter 4, we'll be reading verses 1 through 8 of God's Word. Romans 4, verses 1 through 8. And before we read the Word of God, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you grant to us your word, that you bless us from heaven as you speak to us, and these words that we have here. We ask that you would give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding, even as we consider the proof of justification by faith alone, that we are given in the Old Testament. It is not some new doctrine, but it goes back all the way to the beginning and even is found before the beginning in your eternal decrees. Father, we're thankful that you are a gracious God and so gracious that you save us and justify us by your Son and by His works and righteousness. Father, help us and give us faith to believe. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Romans chapter 4, reading starting in verse 1. These are God's words. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, so the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Those are God's words. Paul has stated in chapter 3, verse 28, if you remember, for we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. And we are justified by faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone. And our works have nothing to do with that. Our works have nothing to do with justification. And so how are the Jews then going to respond? Because that's what Paul is going to address. How are the Jews going to respond to this, that justification is by faith alone? Remember that it has been proven that all Jews and Gentiles are condemned. They've broken the law of God. And therefore all will receive the just punishment of God's wrath for all eternity unless they are justified. Unless they are made to stand before God. And they have to be able to stand before God, they need to be justified. And this was proven by Scripture itself, that all are condemned. Romans chapter 3, we've covered that. But now, no one can be justified by their own works because of sin and law breaking. So how will one be justified? We have heard by faith alone. So how will the Jews now respond? What about Abraham? And that's our first point this morning. What about Abraham? What about Abraham? Verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather according to the flesh, has found? What has Abraham found? Right? That's the question. In regards to justification by faith and not works, what has Abraham found? Because the Jews will continually go back to Abraham, right? If you read the Gospels, they say, what about Abraham? Our father Abraham said. Our father Abraham did. And that's what their argument will be in response to Paul. And so Paul brings it right to them and says, what about Abraham? Let's think about that. How has Abraham found the righteousness that he has? Did it come forth from himself? Put it another way. What has he attained by his own righteousness? By his works? Abraham did not attain any righteousness by his own works. Abraham couldn't put any trust in his own works. Because Philippians 3, Paul says there, "For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh." And the Jews were trying to find ways to put confidence in the flesh, just as we always are constantly trying to do ourselves, even as Christians. We're trying to find ways we can put confidence in our own flesh. But we've learned that no one can be justified by their own obedience. But that righteousness, that obedience that was provided in God's Son, Jesus Christ. And so here come the Jews. They're asking, "But our father Abraham was a righteous man. He had good works, right? He had good works." They love, as we've gone through the Gospels and seen, they claim Abraham as theirs. They say all the time, "Our father Abraham did this. Our father Abraham did this and that." But did he attain justification of himself? And Paul responds, verse 2, "For if Abraham was justified by works, he is something to boast about, but not before God." Paul asks the what if question. If Abraham was justified by works, let's say that he was, Paul's saying. Let's say that he was. Then he has something to boast about. No, he just argued in chapter 3, verse 27, that there's no room for boasting, not even in Abraham. But let's just say that Abraham could boast. Entirely groundless as that is, he's giving some respect, so that we'll see later, to circumcision. That'll be next Lord's Day. According to the flesh, according to circumcision, Abraham was circumcised. There's a little righteousness there, right? When baptized as a child, which is like the New Testament circumcision, when baptized, there's a little righteousness there, right? You go back to Genesis chapter 12 and you'll see there that his name was made great. He has something to boast about before men. But not, it says, before God. Not before God. There's no glorying in Abraham before God. That's how Paul argues in Philippians 3 again. He says, "For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Do I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also? If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Here it is, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection." So if Abraham had obtained justification by works, he should have had somewhat wherever he might glory before God. But he had nothing, as one commentator says, to glory before God. Therefore, he was not justified by works. God's way of justifying sinners is shut, as shut out all glorying and boasting in oneself. Abraham had no ground of boasting before God, not having been justified either by the observance of circumcision, because that came after his justification, or by any other work of obedience that he had promised or had performed. Why do we know this? Because of what the Scripture says. And so just like Paul in Romans 3 looked at sin and then said all were condemned, and then he said, here's the proof. And he goes back to the Old Testament Scriptures and he proves it. So with justification by faith apart from works, he does the same thing. He proves it with Scripture, the Scriptures that the Jews themselves believed in. And so he says, verse 3, "For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." There's the answer. How was Abraham justified? Was it by circumcision? No, that came after what we just read in that quote from Scripture from Genesis 15 and verse 3. How was he justified? It wasn't by circumcision or some other work. No, it says he was credited as righteous. That wasn't from himself. He was credited with it. That's justification, being credited with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so it's like having credit being as opposed to debt. Like a credit card, or when you have debt, those kind of terms. We're in debt, to you owe money, or owe something to another. In the case of justification, you owe your life for an eternity of punishment under the just punishment of your sins. Because of your sins, you have a debt. You owe God an eternity of being judged forever. You are to give that to Him. That's what you owe. That's your debt. But in the case of the one justified, the Christian, the one who's justified, you're given a credit. And so your debt is wiped clean and you're given a credit. You're like, as we talk about credit often with money, you're given money to spend. You're given something from another. In this case, you're given or you're credited with the righteousness of Jesus Christ from God. Abraham was credited with the righteousness of Jesus Christ from God. That was recorded in Genesis 15. It says, "And he brought him outside and said," the Lord did to Abraham, "Look toward heaven and number the stars if you're able to number them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." And Abraham believed the Lord, and he counted it, the Lord counted it to Abraham as righteousness. And he said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess." And so you see the language of redemption there at the end of just like Israel being brought out of the land of Egypt, Abraham was brought out of the Ur of the Chaldeans. He was redeemed out of that pagan land, out of the land of the Babylonians, we would say, out of the Chaldeans. And so what was the instrument that brought about this justification? It was faith. Abraham believed God. He believed the truth and the promise that was presented to him about the stars and that it would number the stars in the heaven. That his offspring would. And Galatians 3 says, "Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring." It does not say "and to offsprings," referring to many, but referring to one. "And to your offspring," that is Christ. So the Lord, in the covenant, promised Christ to come from Abraham, the Messiah. And Abraham believed. And he was credited with righteousness. His debt was wiped away. And he was given a credit, the righteousness of that righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so the Jews, consider what the Scripture that you believe says. It says Abraham was justified by faith. And guess what? In chapter 15 of Genesis, Abraham wasn't circumcised yet. That doesn't happen until chapter 17, a few chapters later. What was true of Abraham is that he proved his justification and his faith by his works that followed Genesis 15. By taking upon himself and being circumcised, he proved that he was justified. Just like James talks about. He says, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works?" That is, proving his justification. That he was justified by his works, like when he was circumcised. And he gives another example, James does. James says, "Was not Abraham our father justified by our works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar?" When was that? That's chapter 22 of Genesis. That comes many years after Abraham believed and was circumcised. You see, he says that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. How is it proven that it was counted to him or credited to him as righteousness? Because he even was willing to offer up his son because God commanded him to, and he obeyed. It showed that he was justified, that righteousness was granted to him. And he lived righteousness out in his life. And so that faith, the faith of Abraham, was not itself the justifying righteousness. We talked about that last Lord's Day. Unless one think that faith is a work of themselves or ourselves. Faith, we know, we heard last Lord's Day twice from John chapter 6, that faith is a work of God. And Ephesians 2, it is a gift of God. Because faith is an instrument in justification. It is not the righteousness itself. Faith is not the righteousness. It is the instrument by which you are granted the gift of righteousness from Christ. As one commentator says, righteousness is what we want in order to justification. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, as testified in the gospel, is the means through which we receive this righteousness. Believing then is not the righteousness, but it is the means through which we become righteous. And again, because it is a gift of God or a work of God. So what about Abraham? Abraham was justified by faith, which is a gift and work of God. And therefore Abraham, because of the gift and work of God, was credited with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who was and is the perfect law keeper. And then secondly, what about David? What about David? Verse 4. Now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor or grace, but as what is due. That word favor is the word grace there. And notice the way Paul phrases that. He's contrasting the two. He's contrasting faith and works. He's saying Abraham was justified by faith, but now the one who works, someone who's different, the one not who believes, the one who doesn't have faith, his wage is not credited as favor. It's not grace. Abraham was not justified by works, but by faith and free grace. And therefore, he had no room for boasting. There are no works of any kind or degree, because no reward can be said to be a grace that is given for the work of any kind or degree. In other words, Abraham didn't receive righteousness by faith as a good work. And so now what about works? What do you get if you work? Just like today, if you work, what do you get? You get a wage. You get paid. Because that's what's due to you. The one who works ought to be compensated. And so it's not a favor, it's not grace to you that you're paid. You worked for it, you earned it. It is owed to you, otherwise it would be stealing. It's stealing for someone to work and not be paid. But favor or grace is not given to the one who works. It is given to the one who does not deserve it. If you work, like in a job, any job, and you work for 8 hours, then you deserve 8 hours of compensation for that job that you did. You deserve 8 hours of pay. It is what is due to you. Your wages. But favor or grace is that which is given to you which you don't deserve. It isn't owed to you in any way. It is not what is due to you. Grace is defined as what? Like we often hear about, it's called unmerited favor. Something that you don't deserve. It's unmerited or even demerited favor. You've merited what? You've merited the exact opposite. You've merited a debt to pay. That's what you've granted yourself because of your works. You've got a merit of debt. You've earned debt for yourself, and that the eternity of judgment before God that you owe Him. But true merit is that which is done to receive something in return. That which is done to be worthy of receiving something, like praise or a reward of some kind. And so what is true for the one who doesn't merit, who doesn't work? Because that's what we've learned is true of all people already through Romans 3. There is nothing we can do to merit or to have merit or to work in order to receive something that is due to us. Verse 5. But to the one who does not work, but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. So he says, but to the one who doesn't work, that's all people. All break the law. And therefore none can produce works or merit unto righteousness. It's merit, if it's any merit at all, it's merit unto damnation forever. And so we do work. All our works receive the same thing. They're just due. The wages we deserve, again, as we said, is eternal judgment and eternity under God's just penalty. But we're talking about justification. Those who don't work. That's still everyone, as it has to do with justification. But notice again, he contrasts justification by works and justification by faith. There's no such thing as justification by works. Because it wouldn't be grace then. It wouldn't be God's favor then. It would be what is due if it was justification by works. And there is none who have this, because then we would be able to boast before God. But we've learned none can boast before God. But the one who does not work at all for their justification, but believes. This isn't saying there are no works whatsoever. Of course there are. But it is saying that any works that are done, they are not for justification. Because all works are tainted with at least a little sin. And more predominantly, more than a little sin. A lot of sin. But all works in this life from any of us, any humans, only humans, or mere humans, are tainted with sin. They're not perfect. And so therefore, because they're not perfect, they're not accepted by God. But believes in Him, it says. But believes in Him, in Christ, who justifies the ungodly. It's not my works or your works that can justify you, but Christ justifies. Christ justifies, but believes in Christ. That makes one who believes, who is ungodly, who is wicked, the one who believes, it makes that wicked person just and righteous in Christ. Christ is He who makes one godly by faith. Not by works, which are ungodly, but by faith in Christ. The ungodly, all men, are throughout the Scriptures considered the wicked or ungodly. But you can be justified unto righteousness by faith. There's that way of salvation. Those who are ungodly are only ungodly until they receive the gift of faith, which is credited to them as righteousness. There's the definition of justification again. But the one who believes in Christ, such are credited as having righteousness. Credited as being law-keeping. No longer considered ungodly because of their works, but now considered law-keepers. But now godly and righteous because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ credited to them. As they received that by faith alone. And to this, David is an example to you Jews, and of course to all of us this morning. Because the Scriptures prove Paul's point. That faith is not a work, and one is only justified by faith. Verse 6, just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. And so you see again, this is not a new doctrine, Jews. Certainly not a new doctrine for us. You're just the Jews, for the Jews, you're just confused or you're hard-hearted. Because Abraham proves this, and David does too, that justification is by faith alone, not by works. David spoke of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness, on the man to whom God justifies apart from works. God justifies apart from works. David testifies this in the Scriptures, and it involves that word credits again. That crediting. That's the word. If you read other parts of Scripture, you read some theologians, they'll get different words, but they all mean the same. They're all talking about the same thing. When they use the word credits or reckons, the older word, reckons or accounts to or imputes. We talked about that a few weeks ago, the imputation. It's the same thing. Credits, imputes, imputes, reckons, accounts to. It's kind of all these, some of these words are money words, and then other words very closely related only to Scripture. That this crediting of Christ's righteousness to us, which is called imputation, but not because of our own righteousness or our works, but rather it's received by faith alone. So there's a common misconception that can be in our thoughts, but this is what is true. This is what is true, that the sinner is not accepted as if he were righteous. Sometimes we think we're justified and therefore we're saved, we're Christian, so we're accepted as if we are righteous. That's false. But we are accepted because in Christ Jesus we are righteous. We are righteous. It's not as if we were righteous. It is that we are righteous because of Christ. Because we're in union with Him. The law hasn't been thrown out to make you righteous. The law is still there. All its requirements are fulfilled in Christ. His righteousness is credited, is given to us, it's imputed to us, it's reckoned to us. It's accounted to us. It's like if we had these bank accounts and our sin filled them up. Well, that means that we owe a huge debt to God. But God goes into our bank account. He takes out the debt. He takes that away by Christ's sacrifice on the cross. And He puts in our bank account righteousness. Like we would think, tons of money. Infinite amount. But it's His righteousness. It's credited to us. Now we have no longer a debt. That's imputed, that's credited to the believer, the one who has faith. Verse 7, Paul quotes something David said in the Scripture, proving verse 6, and what comes about, and what comes before that, about Abraham. He says, verse 7, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account." That's from Psalm 32. Which says, the same as verse 7 and 8, "How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." Paul doesn't seem to quote the last part of verse 8. It's not in the verse 8. It's in Psalm 32. But he doesn't quote the last part of verse 2 of Psalm 32. But it is helpful what He does provide for us here in verses 7 and 8. Verse 7 first, those ungodly deeds, those wicked works that you did, that you worked, blessed are all, He says, whose works are forgiven. Because here's the truth, sins can be forgiven. But sins are not forgiven. Sins are not forgiven except in a way in which righteousness is imputed. David, interestingly, is speaking of one person. And Paul takes that and he applies it because it ought to be applied. And he applies it to many people. Because as he's speaking again about Jews and Gentiles without distinction, he wants to make it clear to the Jews. He's not just talking about the Jews. It's all people whose lawless deeds have been forgiven. All without distinction, their sins may be forgiven. Because they have believed. and whose sins are covered. There's an allusion to the mercy in the temple, which you remember from Exodus was on top of the ark. The mercy seat was on top of the ark, and it represented the throne of God. The mercy covered the law of God, because the Ten Commandments representing the law of God were in the ark. In the same way, sins must be covered before they can be forgiven. There must be a way in which this is done in accordance with God's justice. Our sins being forgiven and we being credited with righteousness, that has to come about, but not contrary to God's justice. God still has to be just. He can't change. And this way that preserves all of that, God's justice and being able to forgive sins and cover those sins, that way is the blood of Christ. The blood He shed on the cross in His death on the cursed tree, and the one who believes in Him, being in union with Christ, dies with Him. Like Romans 6, verse 7 says, "For he who has died is freed from sin." Believing in Christ, being covered by His blood and His sacrifice, paying the penalty that you deserved on the cross, and so the sins, the debt, is covered. And that must take place because your sins, for your sins to be forgiven. If you believe in Christ, what He did on the cross, then your sins are forever covered by the blood of Christ. All of them, even the ones you haven't committed yet, they're already covered, like being cast into the depths of the sea, but far more infinitely deeper than the seas can go. Because they're blotted out by the blood of Christ. Isaiah 43 says, I am He who blots out your transgressions for My own sake, and I will remember not your sins. And blessed is happy is the one who has that. And who is that? It's the one who believes, and thus is justified by faith apart from works. And then Psalm 32, verse 2, which is verse 8, how blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. There's that imputation word. A credits word. You see, this communicates to us that the ungodly, of verse 5, the wicked, what we all receive if we do not believe, if we remain in our sins, we are imputed with those sins. And what we deserve is for God to see our sin as it is and bring about His justice. That's what we deserve. But then we have verse 7, our Lord does not impute sin to us. Or verse 8, not if we believe in Him. He imputes it to Christ, and therefore Christ died on the cross for our sakes, that our sins would be covered and therefore forgiven. And those who are justified, and justified by faith, and all such like that, are eternally and infinitely blessed by our Lord. And so what about Abraham? Going back to the first point, what about Abraham? The Scriptures prove that Abraham is justified by faith alone in Christ alone, for God's glory alone, by grace alone. And what about David? David proves the same, that we're also justified by faith alone, apart from works. And so we all of our lives and all our blessing and being covered by the blood of Christ, forgiven and not charged with being sinners, not charged with having that debt, but rather charged with having a credit, the perfect credit that we need before a just God. We owe, therefore, all our lives to our God in Christ, just as Abraham showed forth and willing to sacrifice his own son, Isaac. So God owes us nothing. All that we have from Him, we receive by His free grace to us. And that is a blessing. Let's pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the blessing that You grant to us, Your people, by Your grace and favor. We acknowledge that we don't deserve Your favor, Your grace. We don't deserve to be seen as righteous. Thankfully, it's not as if we are righteous, but that we are righteous in Christ Jesus. And Father, as we don't deserve these things, we receive them as a grace from You, as a gift and work of You. And Father, we pray that all here would be justified, would be credited with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that Christ would have been imputed with our sin and our debt, but that debt would be paid by His perfect sacrifice on the cross. We know that for an infinite debt, only one who is divine could pay that without an eternity to pay it. And so we are thankful that You sent Christ, Your Son, who is not only God but man also, to sacrifice Himself and to take our debt perfectly and to perfectly impute to us His righteousness as He is the law keeper perfectly. Father, now in Your sight we are perfectly law keepers. We pray that we would show that forth, even as You sanctify us and cleanse us of our sin. Put to death the sin that remains and put on the righteousness and cover us with His righteousness. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.